Welcome to Innovation for this Friday, the 8th day of February. I'm Kara Hetland, and biomedical engineering applies creative problem solving to a wide variety of medical issues. It's expected to be one of the fastest growing career fields in the state. The University of South Dakota and South Dakota School of Mines and Technology are partnering to offer a new 4-year bachelor's degree in biomedical engineering. And SDPB's Jackie Hendry spoke with USD Chair of Biomedical Engineering Dan Ingebretson and School of Mines Program Head Timothy Brenza. Brenza begins the conversation describing what interests him in the field of biomedical engineering.
So this is really, for me, it's been a very fruitful area to work in, and it really bridges my interest in the biology, the medical side of things, along with my background in engineering. And so my background being in engineering allows me to kind of solve problems and look at things from a more fundamental and transport phenomena sort of way, but then to be able to apply it to a biological system and actually look at affecting health outcomes in an individual or even an entire population. It's just extremely exciting.
And then how about you, Dr. Ingebretson?
And for me, it's probably more of an economic development opportunity. I think with the investments that we've had by Avera and Sanford in healthcare in the area, the state's desire to get more to the biotech, bioscience space, this was a very good next step to go and give great opportunities for the next generation of scientists and engineers in the state.
Right. So a graduate degree has been offered in the past between these two institutions. Now we're expanding that to an undergrad degree. Dr. Brenza, from your perspective at School of Mines, how does this new offering benefit students?
So we currently have a lot of students who have an underlying interest in applying engineering to medicine and the life sciences. What they've currently been doing is they've been getting their bachelor's degrees in an engineering discipline and then looking at the application at the graduate level. What we're looking to do with this degree is we're looking to kind of give our undergraduate students a more broad perspective, interdisciplinary perspective, to give them the tools to really go after the jobs that probably aren't even thought up yet in the biomedical field.
Mm-hmm. And I'm guessing this is a need that we've seen at USD as well.
Correct. You know, with the med school there, we've got the emphasis on healthcare and medicine is a very natural extension to how do we actually translate these ideas into practice.
Mm-hmm. And so moving this into a 4-year bachelor's degree, what kinds of classes does this entail?
All kinds. Engineering, it's a, you know, the application of science to solving problems. So you've got to have a strong background in science. Here at USD, we've actually created a new curriculum, the integrated science curriculum, because the problems that we face in biomedical engineering are not chemistry problems, they're not biology problems, they're not physics problems. Rather, we have to blend all of those fields together into one. And so integrated science was a degree that we created a couple of years ago that serves that scientific foundation in USD's biomedical engineering program. And then on that, you have to take the problem solving that is kind of at the heart of engineering, and then don't forget to throw in the math as well, because everything has to get crunched and analyzed and reiterated to make things work.
Yeah, it sounds like it requires a really well-rounded perspective.
Yes. Well, and that's kind of the interesting thing. University of South Dakota, as you know, is the state's flagship institution, but it's also the liberal arts university in the state of South Dakota. And building a engineering curriculum into that is challenging. But I do think the liberal arts foundation is actually great to build on for something like biomedical engineering, where it is such a broad background that is necessary to be successful in it.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Brenza, maybe I'll start with you. When it comes to innovations in healthcare, and the problems that we're looking to solve from an engineering perspective that we can also apply into a variety of places for healthcare. What does that kind of look like in a classroom setting? What kinds of examples are we using to help students think in that really broad, creative way about anything from biology to tissue engineering to prosthetics to everything that this broad field entails?
Yeah, so the students will really have this really broad background, so they'll have some knowledge in biology and chemistry, physics, mathematics, and then the fundamental engineering principles of transport phenomena and things of that nature. But really, kind of the integration then comes into how do we apply these to the biological system? How can we look at for example, the respiratory system, the exchange of gases? How do we model that? How do we address disease states? How can we apply interventions, and what is the likely outcome of those interventions? And so the students will really have this broad background and then go through kind of the problem-solving techniques. How do you define the problem? What are the parameters that you have to work inside? And in the biomedical field, it's more than just numbers. There's also regulation involved, and you're dealing with people's lives. And so you also have to have a very high level of assurance and safety and reproducibility in everything that you end up doing.
Mm-hmm. One of the things that Dr. Brenza touched on, just the whole regulatory environment, which is one of the, not entirely unique to biomedical engineering, but that's one of the things that I think we very intentionally have built into the program is understanding of good laboratory practices, good manufacturing practices. That's the federal regulations that guide and dictate how drugs and devices ultimately will get into the marketplace. And so making sure that students are aware of those unique challenges afforded in biomedical engineering.
Mm-hmm. All part of the puzzle.
That's right.
When it comes to offering a major like this in collaboration between two institutions, six-ish hours away from each other, what does that process look like collaborating between the two?
Quite a few phone calls, some video conferences.
Yeah, so some time in Chamberlain.
That's right.
Meet halfway.
to get it. But now we're kind of at the interesting stage of actually trying to build the course schedule. And so we've got two different time zones. We're going to have students taking classes in two different time zones, but at three different sites, because it's going to be offered here in Sioux Falls at the University Center, down in Vermilion on the main campus, and at School of Mines. And so as an example, in a student's the fall semester of their second year, if they're following their four-year plan, they're supposed to be taking organic chemistry, which is offered at different times at each of those three institutions. They've got to be taking, I think it's Calc 3, which is also offered at different times at all three of those institutions. And then we have to find a time when they can all take their biomechanics course. And so the people that are working on scheduling right now are the real champions.
Talk about creative problem solving. Get the schedule.
Exactly. Dr. Brenza and I had the fun of dreaming up this curriculum, and now we've handed it off to people to actually try to figure out where do those classes fit and fall when you've got two time zones. So we really can't have an 8 o'clock class here in Sioux Falls, because that's a 7 o'clock class at in Rapid City. That's pretty much guaranteed non-enrollment.
you'll see that in your retention rates real quick.
That's absolutely right. So that's the new challenge that we're facing, is how do we build this schedule so that it'll work. And it'll be done, but it's just kind of fun as you think about it, going, oh, I hadn't really thought about that. Well, yeah. We asked for this, and now we're going to get it. Oh, okay, yeah. Good.
Yeah, and that's a little bit easier at the graduate level when the focus isn't necessarily on the classes, but it's shared between classes and research.
Yeah.
So now at the undergraduate level, there's a lot more emphasis on the in-class time, and so really, working with the infrastructure, making sure that we have the right rooms with the capacity to do the real time video classrooms. That's a challenge that our the staff that's supporting this is really putting a lot of effort into at this point.
And that kind of leads into another piece of that question, which is how much or is there much interaction in maybe the cohorts at the different spaces? So maybe if you're in this collaborative major at School of Mines, are you ever going to be interacting with those students at USD? Is there any level of that with maybe video classrooms or anything, or is that too much at this point? We're just getting them in.
No, many of the core courses are going to be shared. They're going to be offered. You know, the goal is offered in real time using some video conferencing technology. So they're going to be students with one another. I know at the graduate level, we've worked hard to try to have some of the classes. For lab activities or something, the students come together on occasion throughout the semester. We'll probably see if we can do those sorts of things at the undergraduate level as well, particularly the more advanced level of courses, because these are the people you're going to work with. But I also think it gives students getting to learn in this environment where they're in different places, I think is going to perhaps even empower our students, because that's the way the real workforce is starting to develop now. Yeah. Where you're not everybody is just literally sitting in the same room or same lab with you. They're going to be forced to have to study that way. And so hopefully that'll just give them extra advantage as they move into the workforce.
Yeah. And it gives the students the perspective of, you know, the faculty here at the School of Mines, which are more engineering problems, you know, engineering oriented faculty. But it allows us to leverage that with the faculty that are going to be at USD. And so it allows us to also play off of each other for some of these courses and really build on kind of that collaboration. We also have student organizations at both universities that are active in the biomedical engineering field. So at the School of Mines, it's the Biomedical Engineering Society student chapter. And they've been instrumental in also providing outside of the classroom an opportunity for students to, from here to travel over to Sioux Falls to the biomedical engineering department there, and we're hoping to increase that interaction with those student organizations as well.
And in Sioux Falls, we've got USD, the student chapter for the Society for Biomaterials, because most of the things that we make are going to be used in biology. So that's what the Society for Biomaterials does. We've had for the last 6 or 7 years now a annual biomaterials day where we bring in great speakers literally from across the nation to tell us what are some of the latest and greatest things happening in terms of new materials to treat disease and injury.
Can you give us maybe an example of some of that latest and greatest things that students maybe hear this and think, that sounds amazing, I want to get in on this?
Well, one of the examples that I usually give is in the area of bone tissue engineering. Bone is a really cool tissue in that it is naturally capable of doing some level of healing. A lot of us have broken bones. Some of us have broken multiple bones multiple times. and thankfully, it heals and heals well. But as you get very large bone injuries due to cancer resections, bombs going off, those sorts of things. These are called critical size defects, where you can no longer can the body heal itself. And so making new scaffold materials that can go into those large defects that have the right chemical, physical, biological structures in them that encourage the body's natural healing capabilities to turn on and allow that to re-heal itself rather than having to resort to putting in a hunk of metal or putting in a plate and those sorts of current treatment strategies that limit some of the natural biological function. Obviously, that titanium plate that's in there doesn't bend the way that your natural bone does. And so you lose some of that signaling that is critical for how your muscles end up reacting and things. So those are the things that students get exposed to and are some of the unique things that are part of biomedical engineering.
We've touched a bit on the workforce development aspect of this program, and in the press release it discusses how this is one of the fastest growing fields in our state. Dr. Engelbretson, what need is this filling in South Dakota from a workforce development perspective?
I'll narrow it a little bit to Sioux Falls, though I think Sioux Falls is representative of what's going to be happening across the state. USD has its research park. The Discovery District is based here in Sioux Falls out at the University Center site. Just this last fall, we had a groundbreaking for SAB Biotherapeutics and Alumed, which are two medical product companies that are growing here in the city. They're about between the buildings that are going to get built, there's 120,000 square feet, and they need people to do these things. They've already, I know Alumend has been hiring some of the graduates coming out of the graduate program. I was just doing a quick inventory in my head. I don't think SAB has hired anybody yet, but I'll leave the yet word there. And so that's one example. We need to fill these positions to help these companies grow, because they're planning on, I think, SAB and Alumend in the next couple of years before they move into their new facilities are planning to add 40 to 50 people. And so they need quite a few people coming in. Also, in our graduate program, working hard to drive innovation there. So we've had, I think we're up to 3 startup companies that have come out of USD's biomedical engineering department. Several of our graduates have gone on to take leadership roles in the startup companies. Those startup companies aren't planning to be startup companies for a long time. And so we want to see that. We want to support that growth and encourage that growth.
Right. Dr. Brenza, what does that look like West River? Are we seeing kind of a similar growth?
So we are seeing growth in the area. You know, this is one of the states. Kind of 2020 vision was on, you know, improving the kind of development of biomedical and health sciences sectors. You know, one of the things that, you know, I like to you know, as I'm talking to students who have interest in this field, is, you know, they're going to be looking at solving problems that we don't know yet. They're going to be applying for jobs that haven't been created yet. Biomedical engineering, as you alluded to, is one of the fastest growing fields in terms of demand in the United States. And so, you know, one of the things that Dr. Engelbretson mentioned about, you know, kind of these companies coming into the area, you know, additionally, there's going to be innovation, entrepreneurship opportunities for students coming out of these programs as well.
Part of how we recruit students, it seems, a lot of times to these kinds of programs is by pointing to, look, you're probably going to have a job when you graduate, and that's great. But what else kind of goes in? What are you looking for in students who enter into this new major that we've started, this new bachelor's program? What kinds of students do you think would be most interested in this, who you think would really thrive in this kind of field?
Students that are curious and smart, motivated team players.
Team players. Big thing.
Because they're, again, none of these problems are solved in single disciplines. You've got to bring people together to solve them. But particularly when you get into, you know, the medical device space, you need expertise in the regulatory fields. You need expertise in the science to understand the underlying disease condition. You need expertise in the engineering to how do we solve that. Curious, smart, motivated team players.
Mm-hmm. In our last few minutes, as we're entering into offering this new bachelor's degree, I'll start here in Sioux Falls and then move to Rapid. Any thoughts now that this is a reality and we're moving into the scheduling and making it happen?
Oh, crap.
What do we look to now? Like, what's the next step and what are we excited for?
Today is one of the next steps, just to start to get the information about the program out there so that students, as they're starting to decide what they want to do when they grow up, can know this opportunity is there. I think we also need to do more work, because I think one of the challenges that we are faced with is that a lot of the jobs don't exist today. And so make sure that people understand what is happening in the biotech, med tech spaces here in South Dakota. We've got great stories like SAB Biotherapeutics, Alumend, Immutrix, Mitogenetics, Antimicrobial Materials Incorporated. All these companies are here. They're going, they're growing. They want to grow more and they want to grow faster and they need these things. That message needs to get out there so that students can get excited about it, so their parents can get excited about it, and enroll and get going and help us solve these problems.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Brenza, how about you out in Rapid City? What are we excited about as we get rolling on this new program?
Yeah. There's a lot of interest on campus. You know, the faculty here at the School of Mines that are involved in the biomedical engineering process, we're busily getting things put together, anticipating the class coming in this fall, as well as a number of transfer students. And so a lot of excitement along those fronts. We have a couple companies coming to Career Day this semester at the School of Mines that have an interest in biomedical engineering. And so just kind of putting them together with the student organization and the opportunities that are out there, and just kind of getting the message out to prospective students that, you know, this is a program that's starting up, and, you know, it's a really exciting space to be learning in and working in.